He's watching you. God is watching you. His eyes will search throughout this world for one committed heart.
May all who come behind me find me faithful. May the fire of my devotion light their way. May the footprints that I leave lead them to believe, and the life I live inspire them to obey.
Before your very eyes, His wonders to perform.
Welcome to The Journey with Annie Meadows. Honest, thought-provoking, The Journey is a half-hour program airing every week. Listen as Annie shares from her heart and life experiences with the belief that you can be free, you can be better, and you can take courage. For questions, comments, or prayer needs, you may contact us here at Faith Runner Incorporated by calling us at 702-277-1911. Or visit our websites, faithrunner.org, where you will discover more of Annie's testimony, her music, and updates on prophecy. Or go to anniemeadows.com to join the adventure and discover Annie Meadows, the author. Let's join Annie as she brings her message to you today.
Welcome today, listeners. I'm so glad that you've joined me here on the journey. Quickly, I want to give a shout out to a company who I really have discovered and put some faith in these guys. They've been so, so good to me and to many of my neighbors. You can't go wrong there. It's a company here in Las Vegas and Henderson called Green Care, especially one of the representatives named Gary. Greencare.net. Or you can call them at 702-839-5296. Or you can always contact Annie Meadows, and I'll just tell you that this is a great company. I love the product. They put up a little patio in the back for me. They did such a good job. They did one for my neighbor. They're working on other neighbors in my neighborhood. Just honest. Very honest. That's hard to find. Green Care, okay? You know, I still can't believe I've been on the air now with The Journey for 2.5 years, okay? How did that happen? I never planned on this in any way, but I guess God thinks I have something to say, or should I say, He has many things to speak through me as I serve Him and Him only. I've entitled my program today, What in the World is Going On? Oh, how I miss my daddy. I'm reminded of him the last couple of days because he went home to heaven on the date of July 5th, not too many years ago. And more each day, as the world continues to spin faster and faster, I miss him. Things seemed to turn much slower when daddy was alive, and the world appeared much kinder and brighter. Daddy always said everything would be okay. And how I wish he were here to say that again, to just hear his voice. Yet, I lean in every day to listen to the voice of the God who created me, the God I love, my Heavenly Father, who often says to me now, as I sit with him in silence when the world is so loud, he says, Annie, my beloved, everything will be okay. I need those words. I need that assurance as the world spins faster and faster and becomes meaner and meaner and, oh, so confusing. I know you, my listeners, are awaiting and expecting me to address the decision newly made by the United States Supreme Court not too many days ago now. And I think the best way I can address the ruling is with God's Word and with my own personal testimony. Firstly, with God's Word. Those of you who know me well know that I stand firm on the words of the Creator of this entire universe. He's my best friend, He's my Lord, He's my Savior, and I stand firm on the words of our precious Bible. I make it a point to memorize the Bible as much as possible in the event I do not have access to it due maybe to persecution or such. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 says this, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." It goes on in the second chapter of Genesis in verse 18 to say this, "And the Lord God said, It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." The scriptures go on to state that God brought the beasts of the fields, the birds of the air, and he allowed Adam to name each one. Yet God realized that none of these creatures was a helper comparable to Adam. So we continue in verse 21 of Genesis. "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place." Then on in verse 22, "Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man." Verses 23 and 24, we continue. "And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." My friends, I believe the Word of God and will not attempt to change it. Some in this world might read God's Word or perceive the signs of the times, and they might think that God is joking. He's not. Most of us know the story of Lot, and I want to read just a section of scripture to you. But firstly, let me remind you, Lot lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. It's a very popular Bible verse. It's a very popular in Sunday school, where angels came. God was going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah, mainly, if you read the scriptures, for the sin of homosexuality. And the angels were sent to tell Lot and his family to get out now because God was bringing destruction. So we read in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 14 this. "So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who had married his daughters, and he said, Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But to his sons-in-law he seemed to be joking." Yes, my friend, that's in Scripture. My friends, God was not joking then, and he's not joking now. The saddest thing to me is when I see friends of mine who I knew to be strong, faithful, and committed Christians turn from the truth of God and God's Word. One of my mentors in Christian music was Rich Mullins. Rich went to be with the Lord after being killed in an automobile accident as he drove home from a concert. I believe the year was 1997. I was on tour in Australia. I received word that Rich had been killed. And Rich wrote a song with these words, and I'm only going to share this in part. Very popular song. Many Christians would recognize the words to this. And this is how it goes. "Our God wasn't joking when he kicked them out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very close, so you better be believing. Our God is an awesome God." And Rich went on to write in this verse, "And when the sky was starless and the void of the night, he spoke into the darkness and created the light. Judgment and wrath he poured out on Sodom. Mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. I hope that we have not too soon, too quickly forgotten that our God is an awesome God." Have you too quickly forgotten that our God is an awesome God? Let me continue in God's Word, please. In 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 13, For I have told him, now this is God speaking, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity in which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile and he did not restrain them. Now imagine that. God pronounced judgment on this priest named Eli simply because he didn't discipline his sons? You know what? That doesn't sound like such a big sin, does it? But in the book of 2 Chronicles, it goes on to talk about Hezekiah. It says Hezekiah is sick and he's near death, and Hezekiah prays to God, and God speaks to him and he gives him a sign. Yet it goes on to say that Hezekiah remained prideful. So God's judgment continued to loom over him. But yet when Hezekiah himself humbled himself before God, what did God do? God relented. You can read this entire story. I didn't read from Scripture. I just kind of told you the story for the lack of time today. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verses 24 through 26, you can read the story of Hezekiah and about his pride. Well, the story goes on to say basically that Hezekiah was very rich and successful, yet God withdrew from him to test him, to see what was in his heart. Now, all of this seems really interesting to me. You got the sin of not disciplining your children. You got the sin of pride. Now, if God is this interested in such as this, what in the world does God think of our world today? The Bible goes on to say in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 6 and 8, for to be carnally minded is death, is life. But to be spiritually minded, the difference between carnally and spiritually, is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So, my dear listeners, I seek to please God. Will you? I read on in God's Word and find this in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. When I was a little girl, something as simple as desiring a fudgesicle was reason enough to do anything, okay? My mother would tell me that if I would lie down and take an afternoon nap, I would wake up to find a cold, delicious fudgesicle awaiting me. I wanted that fudgesicle so badly that I would obey and take the nap. So now the prize is even grander. It's the hope of heaven for all eternity. But even more than that, the promise, if we obey God, the promise of peace of mind, of better health, of integrity, of living a life to please the Lord that I love. It's promised to me, it's promised to you, if we will trust and obey. What a grand exchange. In my morning devotional, Selwyn Hughes writes, someone has said we are not so much punished for our sins as by our sins. I love the words of the Apostle Paul. In 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, he says this, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. That's you and I, my friends. And I might add, with this ministry that God has entrusted to me, Annie Meadows, I cling to the words of 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Now, I want to share with you personal testimony. Many of you have heard and know my testimony. I was a practicing witch. I was involved in an occultic lifestyle greatly. Here's what I want to share with you today, though. Not just my testimony, but a part of it that many of you might have just let go over your heads, and that is this. I truly believed with all of my heart when I was a practicing witch that I was born that way. I truly believe with all my heart that there was nothing I could do to change it, that God had actually, I actually said this, God, there was times I said I didn't believe in God, there's times I said I did believe in God, as you can see, I was a very confused witch. But I would say to people, God made me a witch. And I would talk about the different physical traits that I have. And if you look it up, there are, back in the Salem witch days, there were certain traits that they looked for in witches. I'm not going to go into that right now on the air. If you're interested, I'd be glad to share it with you sometime. But I thought from those physical traits and from my powers and so on that I was made and destined to be a witch, and there's nothing that and so people would just have to accept me that way, and so God thought it was all right. One of the most awful lies of the enemy is that we were born contrary to God's plan. If I continue to believe this lie concerning myself as a witch, I would have no hope for heaven, but for eternal damnation. For the Bible states it so clearly. There is no other way that I could interpret it this. There's no other way. So here are some scriptures I want to share with you. Exodus 22, verse 18. You shall not permit a sorceress to live. Deuteronomy 18, 10 and 13. There shall be not found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and the Lord your God drives them out from before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. Then in Galatians 5, 19 through 21, and I quote this only in part. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. The list continues, but concludes in verse 21 with this. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Revelations 21 in verse 8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelations 22 and verse 15. 14 speaks of those who will be blessed, those who keep his commandments. But verse 15 says this, but outside, that means outside of heaven, are the dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. Now note for further study, when they say dogs here, they don't mean animal dogs. It actually means, if you study it, the morally corrupt. I recently read this. God's timeless word reveals his plan for humanity and his intentions for marriage and sexuality. While scripture teaches that homosexual acts are sinful, for example, these Bible verses aren't about condemning homosexuals, gays, lesbians, or transgender people. Rather, read these verses of God's loving warning and his offer of grace to those who have strayed from his will for sex. We live in a fallen world with a fallen nature, but in Christ Jesus, we can be new creations. Due to my limited time today, I am going to plan a program to follow up my message, today's message, next Tuesday on July 14th. I couple more scriptures for us to think on, and now realize this is God's word. It's not mine. We find in Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 22, do not lie with a man as one lies with a woman. That is detestable. And in Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 13, if a man lies with a man as one lies with a woman, both of them have done what is detestable. They must be put to death. Their blood will be on their own heads. 1 Corinthians 7, in verse 2, since there is so much immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman her own husband. Allow me to share this poem with you that I found in one of my devotionals. So you're running away from God, angry, rebellious, full of doubts, fearing the offense of disagreeing with deity, fearing to question a God beyond question. Is it possible God is more offended when we imagine we can hide from omnipresence? Think his ear may be too fragile for our pain? Pretend he cannot hear our unvoiced anger? Deny our doubt can find its answer with him? Decide that mercy cannot meet us where we are? Refuse the second chance he's offering right now? In an article by Family Life, I find statements that are worthy to be shared here today. Number one, I urge you to pray. Number two, I urge you to confront immorality. Number three, I urge you not to be ashamed to call others to godly accountability. Number four, I urge you to demand righteousness of yourself, because societal change always begins with one person, one home, one man or woman, one boy or girl willing to make a difference. And number five, pray for the safety of our children and the courage of our people and the mercy of our God. My friends, the scriptures are not our enemy, but our good rule book for righteous living. I did not make it a habit to take scripture out of context, but the following verse of scripture sums it up, my thoughts on the word of God in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. But let us learn from the prophet Jonah. For as Selwyn Hughes quotes this about Jonah, Jonah was more interested in shouting judgment than in announcing the offering of divine forgiveness. My friends, God is all about forgiveness, yet it is our duty to repent, firstly, and secondly, accept the free gift of salvation, but on God's terms. Finally, I'm sad that both my parents have left here on this earth. They've left me so soon in my life, but they also left a healthy legacy for me to hold on to. And because of that, two things I stand for and shall not waver from. Romans 1:16a. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. In Daniel chapter 3:17-18, if we are thrown into a blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O King. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of God you set up. My dear listeners, I, Annie Meadows, will not bow to the enemy of our souls. I will stand for the righteous truth of God's word. I do not believe in any way that God's word is for the past. I don't believe that it is outdated, and I don't believe that we can take what we desire to do, be it sinful, be it whatever it be, and try to include it into God's word, try to change God's word in any way. God's word is still the anchor for us. Jesus himself, when he was tempted by Satan in the desert, what did he use? He didn't give a good speech. He simply counteracted the enemy with God's word. Jesus Christ himself stood on God's word, and I will stand on God's word. So I pray for you that you will not waver. I pray that you will hang on to the truth that first was spoken to you by the word of truth, the voice of the creator of this universe, Jesus Christ, our rock and our savior. And remember, my friends, God is always watching you. I say God bless you, and I pray for you, and you pray for me.
We hope Annie has given you something to think about today and the encouragement you need to continue on your journey. It is Annie's desire that you are spurred on to good works and that you strive for a higher calling. Your donations are greatly needed to keep this program on the air. You can give via PayPal at our secure website or by checks written to ECM. All donations go directly to the radio stations that air The Journey and are tax deductible. Again, our phone number is 702-277-1911. That's 702-277-1911. Join Annie again next week on The Journey, and may God bless you.
Bless you. Bless you.